Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Em.
Welcome, Em, to the Bingeables Podcast.
Hi, Chinlin. Do you know what? I started waving just then and I've just realized this is audio, so no one can tell that I'm waving. But I'm so excited to be on the Bingeables. I can't tell you, I've just been waiting for this for so long, and I'm so happy to be here.
I am so sorry that I didn't have you on sooner. That is my bad.
No, I am sorry that I couldn't be on sooner. But yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I really am. Thank you.
I'm glad. Would you like to introduce yourself, Em, to our listeners and your podcast?
Sure. So my name's Em, and I host a podcast. It's called Verbal Diorama. And on that podcast, I like to talk about the history and legacy of movies you know and movies you don't. And a little while ago, actually, it was quite a long time ago, actually, Chinlin, you actually came onto my podcast because we were chatting and we wanted to talk about X-Men Dark Phoenix. And so you came on to my podcast last year and we talked about X-Men Dark Phoenix, and we had a great time talking about that movie, even though there were a few issues with that movie. But I'm, like I say, I'm just so delighted that we could do this and I could finally come on your podcast. So it's Verbal Diorama. And if you're interested in following me on social media, then you can find me at Verbal Diorama. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also Letterboxd as well, if you're into that sort of thing.
All right.
So there you go, that's me.
I feel like most people listening already know who you are, but these are for the folks who are joining in for the first time.
I would imagine if a handful of people are aware of me.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
Hello to them. No, hello to them. They know who they are. And hello, and it's nice to meet you, to the people who don't know who I am. But hopefully now you do. And hopefully I will charm you enough so maybe you'll want to check me out on my podcast. Not me personally, but just the podcast. That would be nice. You can also check me out as well if you want.
Before we start with the show introduction, normally we have a segment called Whatcha Bingin'. And for me, aside from the show we're about to talk about, I have been binging on Gilmore Girls. I binged seasons 1-3, and I'm currently started on season 4. I grew up sort of watching Gilmore Girls. It was on TV. It was on the WB network. Now it's called the CW, but back then it was on the WB. And like I was kind of young back then to be watching Gilmore Girls, but like, you know, I caught a few episodes and I knew the basic gist of like what was going on. And I know about the love triangles and all that good stuff. So this is like my first time actually like sitting down trying to watch every episode, and I really like it. I knew I would like it, but I'm liking it more than I thought I would. So but yeah, that's my recent binge.
Well, I suppose you're gonna want to know what my recent binge is, and I guess I'm gonna have to be really honest in that the only thing I've really been binging recently TV wise is probably She-Ra. And that's not due to me not wanting to binge anything or you know, having any desire to particularly binge anything. It's, just because, unfortunately, I haven't really had much time. However, I will say, Chinlin, that I'm very interested in the fact that you're binging Gilmore Girls, because I binged that myself several years ago and I was completely in love with that show. Mostly in love with Jess Mariano. but Let's not go into Rory's love interests right now. It that'd be a podcast of its own. I guess I'm being a little bit dull. But yeah, She-Ra, basically.
Alrighty. Well, guys, we are here today to talk about the Netflix and DreamWorks animated series, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. The series was created by Noelle Stevenson, and the show has had 5 seasons on Netflix from November 2018 to just recently. It ended May 2020. And they've had 5 seasons packed into almost 2 years. That's incredible.
That is some phenomenal turnaround, especially when you're talking about an animated show of this quality as well. That they managed to do 5 seasons in like less than 2 years. That's amazing.
Yeah. It does help that the seasons aren't very long. So, like, season one has 13 episodes. 2 and 3 are, like, 6 and 7 episodes. So it's half of what your normal season is. And then 4 and 5 have a full season of 13 episodes each.
This is our spoiler-free preview episode where we give an overview of the series and why we think geeks should watch it.
In this reboot of the 1980s series, a magic sword transforms an orphan girl into the warrior She-Ra, who unites a rebellion to fight against evil. So, pretty basic, I guess. Like, I feel like the summary just, most summaries don't really do justice. But, like, if you're into magic, if you're into, groups of different magical beings coming together to fight against evil, like, if that's your thing, you're going to be hooked reading the summary. So I've decided, and I can't believe I haven't been doing this earlier, but I'm going to insert the teaser trailer audio from She-Ra and the Princesses of Power following this, so our listeners can actually listen to the trailer and also let that help help them make a decision. I'm about to play the trailer now.
Adora.
Who are you? What's going on?
Balance must be restored. You do not yet realize the power you have. The time has come to show you your destiny.
You're not making any sense. I don't understand.
You will.
For the honor of Grayskull!
She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that was the trailer. So now we're getting into the meat of the episode. Why did we choose this show, and why do we think other geeks should watch it? So, as I mentioned earlier, it was my bad for not bringing M as a guest on sooner. So we DM'd each other a few months back, and we decided on a show that we both were able to binge in a certain amount of time, and that show is, of course, She-Ra. So that's the main reason why we chose this show. And I do want to just say a quick disclaimer. I have not seen the original show from the 80s. So, I heard about She-Ra on Netflix from another friend. And Em, when you and I were messaging each other, I texted my other friend and I asked, "Hey, Sarah, I remember you said you really liked She-Ra. Can you, would you recommend this as, like, a straight out binge? Like, do you think I could binge this in like a month, 3 weeks, 2 weeks or something?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, it's totally bingeable. Go for it." So then I was like, "Okay, great. Em, let's do this. I'm down." But yeah, so I came into this show just straight, just like with a blank slate. I didn't know anything about the 80s show. I didn't really know anything about the toy line as well. So that was nice. I'm coming into this fresh. So why should geeks watch it? She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, it's got various aspects of fantasy elements and sci-fi elements. The visuals themselves are really vibrant. It's like cute pastel colors, which, I mean, I don't think most people choose a show based on the color schemes, but it was another pleasing thing to me that I enjoyed. If you were a little skeptical about She-Ra to begin with, like I was, I can tell you the show really grows on you. I would say the first two episodes are like part one and part two. They really like hook you in. And I guess for me personally, it took me about episode 5 or 6 until I was like really hooked in and that I was able to binge the rest of it all throughout season 5. But if you're a little bit of a skeptic, I can tell you that it will grow on you. And other things that I recommend why other geeks should watch it. She-Ra explores a lot of complex emotions. It's not just another kids show, even though it's kind of Netflix kind of labels it like that. It touches on a lot of themes about friendship, compassion, love, and courage. The characters are, in my opinion, they're very cute. They're also very strong. They are not one-dimensional at all, so you're getting a lot of compelling storylines and personality traits. And last but not least, I really like this show because it's also created by a woman. I feel like there's not too many animated series out there that are created by women. And the team of writers and directors behind the show are primarily women. So I enjoy supporting works by other women.
I completely agree with you, Chin-Lin, pretty much on everything that you've said. I mean, why we chose this? I mean, we were going back and forth for a little bit, and She-Ra just kind of popped out, really. And it was one of those shows that I started binging originally back in November of 2018. And I remember this quite vividly because I was actually on a yoga retreat at the time. And I know that sounds weird. Why was I binging She-Ra on a yoga retreat? But but it was just like, we had some downtime at this yoga retreat and I was like, oh, I've got my tablet here. I've got Netflix. Maybe I'll just watch something. And it just happened to be on. And I watched the first couple of episodes and I was just completely hooked. And it was not something that I'd ever really considered. Because unlike you, I did watch the original show. Because when I was a kid, it was pretty much He-Man and She-Ra on at the time. And She-Ra back in the 80s was obviously this very glamorous, almost like Barbie-esque, you know, she was this beautiful sort of warrior, but she was also sort of second fiddle to He-Man a lot of the time. And mm-hmm. So it almost felt like in her show, even though, you know, she was She-Ra, she was also still kind of a bit lesser than He-Man. And it just kind of felt like, because obviously He-Man had a toy line and She-Ra had a toy line. And it almost felt to me like they were obviously pandering to this sort of girls versus boys thing that toy stores still do. Like you have a boys section, you have a girls section. So the boys get He-Man and the girls get She-Ra. And so I did grow up watching the show. I mean, I can't say I was a massive fan of it. But I would watch episodes occasionally and it was all kind of very rudimentary animation. And I'm a big fan of animation, and that's the other reason why I really wanted to talk about this, particularly because I love animation. It's something that I am always talking about on my podcast, about how much I love animated movies. And like I said earlier, the fact that this show is 5 seasons in 2 years with the animation quality that it has. And I want to talk about more about the animation, obviously, in the other episode, the main episode that we do. But I love the fact that it's bright and colourful, and it doesn't kind of, although it's got dark undertones to the story, it never, it kind of represents the darkness in such a way that's still not too dark. There's always like little neon greens and neon reds and stuff like that that they use to symbolise darkness, which I really, really love. The kind of rainbow colours, and obviously there's a lot of reason why there's rainbows in She-Ra, and we can obviously talk about that later as well. But I think that for a show that's primarily aimed at a younger audience like this is, I mean, it's like Chinlin's already said, if you are sceptical, because a lot of people do think that animation is just for children. And I am very, very steadfast in my belief that animation is not just for children. And She-Ra proves that, because it is beautifully animated and it is very bright and there's a lot of pastels. And so you would naturally think that it's aimed at a child market, but it's really not, because of really kind of the themes that it goes into. It's accessible and available to everyone. And it's a show that everyone should watch. Like, parents can watch this with their children. There's nothing in this show that is unsuitable for children. And like you've already said, Chinlin, it's a female, a primarily female run show. And like you, I'm very attracted to supporting female run shows.
Well said, Em.
Thanks.
So this is the part where we go through the creator's background and some of the main cast members of the show, and we'll talk about where else we've seen them from. Kind of just to give an idea for the listener of where else they might seen the people's work. So starting with the creator, Noelle Stevenson. She has also wrote episodes in the series Big Hero 6, the series, Lego Star Wars, The Freemaker Adventures, and Rapunzel's Tangled Adventures. So I haven't seen any of these, but She-Ra is my first exposure to Noelle Stevenson's work. So sometime in the future, I think I'll check out the Big Hero 6 series and the Tangled Adventures, because Tangled was one of my favorite Disney movies that came out. And fun fact, Tangled is officially 10 years old this month.
Is it really? No way.
Yeah, it came out in November of 2010.
Christ. Okay.
I know.
Okay. That's surprising. That's really shocking.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I watched that movie like 3 times when it came out. That's how much I liked it.
Really? Yeah. I think it's a lot of fun. I really do like that movie.
And also, I just realized, listener, you're listening to this in December, but we're just recording a little early in November.
Yeah, that's my fault because of my schedule, and Chinlin was gracious enough to allow me to do this in November.
Oh yeah, I mean, it worked out, and if we had waited a little bit longer, like, it's gonna fall into Thanksgiving, and then, you know, the holidays start to get a little busy.
Yeah.
And now we are going to talk about the main cast. So for our titular character, She-Ra, and the girl who plays, or the girl who becomes She-Ra, Adora, is voiced by actress Amy Carrero, who I had no idea who she was, to be honest. She has voiced in Elena of Avalor as the titular character, Princess Elena. Honestly, I don't know anything about that movie, but like, if someone who's listening is into animated films and Disney films and all that stuff, and I don't know, has kids or something, they probably know the movie Elena of Avalor. But yeah, I really liked Amy. I think she did a good job as Adora.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think she's a great character and I think she voices her really well.
Next, we have Marcus Scribner as Bo. Bo is one of Adora's friends on the show. When I was watching the pilot, I was like, the guy voicing Bo is so familiar. I know that voice. Where is he from? And then I looked up on IMDb and I was like, oh, it's the guy from Black-ish. Because Black-ish is one of my favorite family comedies from the ABC network. And Marcus Scribner plays Junior, who is the eldest son in the family in Black-ish. So I was like, oh, okay, I see. Because I really like Junior. So I was like, you know what? I'm definitely going to like Bo in this.
I have seen a couple of episodes of Black-ish, but it's not something that's on very often over here. It's just something that sometimes I catch on TV. So I can't say that I would know his face because I've not actually seen that much of it. But what I did see of Black-ish, I really enjoyed. It's just TV schedules over here are weird. Like sometimes things are on, sometimes they're not. And especially American shows, unless it's Friends or The Big Bang Theory, it's not very often showed. But there is a channel here that definitely shows Black-ish and I've definitely seen it. But unfortunately for me, I've not seen enough of it to know who Marcus Scribner is. But I love him as Bo. I think he's amazing. We have Karen Fukuhara as Glimmer, and Karen Fukuhara is probably the actor that I know the most from this cast, mainly because she also plays Kimiko in The Boys, and I think The Boys is just amazing. Again, I would have binged that had it not come out weekly. She also voiced Kipo in Kipo. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Kipo in the Age of the Wonder Beasts. And also, she was Katana in Suicide Squad, which was a bit of a thankless role for her because I think Karen Fukuhara is great. But similar to Kimiko, she doesn't speak in Suicide Squad. I think she maybe says one thing in the whole of Suicide Squad. And yeah, she's a little bit underserved in Suicide Squad, unfortunately, for that movie, because it could do with more Karen Fukuhara. But yeah, I really love Glimmer. I think that the character of Glimmer is one that I think is especially great. She obviously goes through her own journey in the show. And I think Karen Fukuhara, I wouldn't necessarily recognise her, but I think that's because mainly the stuff that I've seen her in, like The Boys and Suicide Squad, she doesn't really say very much. But I think she's brilliant as Glimmer. And I think Glimmer's a great character as well.
I was so shocked when I found out it was Karen Fukuhara because I had only seen her in The Boys and she doesn't talk in The Boys. Her character doesn't talk. So I was just like, her voice is so, like, girly and awesome and chipper.
Yeah. It's like, when you think of a character called Glimmer, like, you think of that voice.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then next up, we have AJ McCulka, who voices Catra. Catra is one of Adora's friends at the start. AJ McCulka, she's an actress and singer-songwriter, and she is best known for being one half of the duo Allie and AJ, and AJ is her sister, or I'm sorry, Allie is her sister, and they both sing together. I have only seen her in the ABC comedy called The Goldbergs. She plays Lainey Lewis, who is one of the love interests of the siblings, Barry Goldberg. And she actually has her own spinoff from The Goldbergs, and it's called Schooled. And I haven't seen Schooled, but I'm sure she's good at that too. And apparently she has also voiced in Steven Universe. I haven't seen Steven Universe, but it's been recommended to me by a handful of people throughout my life. And then we also have Lorraine Toussaint as Shadow Weaver. Lorraine Toussaint is an award-winning actress. She has been in a ton of stuff. I'm only going to name three because I think these were like the top three notable ones on her IMDb page. She was in Orange is the New Black. She was in the movie Selma. And she was also in the, I think it's AMC who does this series, Into the Badlands.
And I think she's just got the most wonderful voice for a character like Shadow Weaver, who you're not sure what her intentions are, because obviously she starts the show as a bad guy, but she has that voice that it kind of makes you kind of sit on the fence with her a little bit as well as to what her intentions are. And I really like that about her voice specifically. I think it works really well for Shadow Weaver. Next, we have Adam Ray as Swiftwind, and Swiftwind is She-Ra's noble steed. He recently voiced in a show called Crossing Swords, which Chinlin tells me is a claymation series on Hulu. But I also noticed as well just recently that that show is being advertised over here in the UK. And so it seems like it's going to be on TV here soon. So I might catch that because it looks quite fun. But I didn't actually know that the guy who plays Swiftwind was in that show. But apparently he's also been in The Heat, which coincidentally I saw recently. So I'm going to have to have a look at his IMDb and see if I recognize his face. But he was also in Spy, also with Melissa McCarthy, and a film called Game Over Man, which unfortunately I've not seen. But I think Swiftwind is a lot of fun because he's got a lot of like bravado, and he reminds me a little bit, and I know this is going to sound weird, but he reminds me a little bit of Donkey in Shrek.
Oh my god, that's a good one. That's a good comparison. I did not think of that.
Only because he's like, when Donkey is like, I'm the noble steed, all that, it just reminds me a little bit of that. Swiftwind. And finally, we have Keston John as Hordak. Apparently, and I can't say that I know this actor's face, but he played Uzo in The Good Place, and apparently is also going to be in the upcoming Avatar sequels. I still question, do we want any Avatar sequels? But this is not the podcast to be talking about that. He also does a lot of voice acting in games as well. So he's been in massive games like Fortnite. He's been in The Outer Worlds. Apparently he's also been in World of Warcraft, Battle for Azeroth, and a game called Drop Zone. And I'll be honest, I'm not a massive gamer. I know what Fortnite is. I know what World of Warcraft is. I don't know what any of the other things are. But again, he's got a really good voice. And Hordak is a really fascinating character as well, with a lot of depth that on initial viewing, you don't see a lot of depth in Hordak. But as the series progresses, you do. And I think he's absolutely fascinating. And I think, again, this is an actor who knows what he's working with and kind of has this voice that really suits the character.
Yeah. So I watched The Good Place. I binged, I think, most of it. I can't remember. I watched some on TV. I binged some on Netflix. But I did not remember Uzo at all. I think Uzo was in like three or four episodes. So I was just like, oh, wow, he's been in something I already watched. Now I want to go back and see his scenes.
Oh, I've just opened up the Good Place wiki. He's Chidi's friend. Oh, now I know who he is. Yeah, now I know. Now I know who the guy is. He's great.
It's so funny when you finally make the connections of what you've seen and like,
yeah,
who was what. But there were so many great voice actors. It was really hard for me just to like narrow down the list, because originally I only listed like the main four. And then I was like, you know what? I feel bad. There are so many great actors. Like, I think I need to add a few more characters to talk about in their voice actors, respectively. So it's a long list. I ended with Hordak because he's like, he's one of the main villains starting off. So basically, this concludes our spoiler-free discussion of She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. You're Yay. Welcome to add anything else, Em. I didn't have that scripted.
No, that's fine. I think you're absolutely right. I think this is an immense cast. I mean, there's so many characters. One that I would particularly just like to shout out is Vella Lavelle, who plays Mamista. And I love her voice, and I know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And she is exactly the same character in this as she is in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And I love her. So I completely understand why you couldn't, you know, it's impossible to list everyone. But Vella Lavelle is so good. Sorry, my doorbell's just gone off.
Oh, well, this is a good time because we just ended the preview.
I just heard my doorbell. It's all right. I think it's just an Amazon delivery. They should just leave it by the door. sorry about that.
No worries.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables Podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin.